I said one Sunday, I was down to one verse, and I'd get down to less than that. Well, last Sunday, we did half a verse, James 2:14, and we did the first half. There are two questions in that verse. You'll hear them as I read it. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? What use is it? And his answer is none. Not worth a thing. Then his second question is, can that faith save him? Second question, and that's the question we'll look at today. Can faith save? Faith cannot save. That's what James says. Faith cannot save. Now, what I want to do is look back on what we did a little bit last week, because it's all one verse. We ought to see it all together at one time. So I just want to remind all of us what happened last week. The first question was, what profit is there if a man says he has faith and does not have works? And the answer is none. It's no profit. Having faith, walking around saying, I believe, I believe, I believe, what good is it unless that faith does something? And he says it is no good at all. And so we wanted to point out that the theme of this section from 14 through the end of the chapter, through verse 26, the theme is faith without works is dead. And he's going to talk about that all through here. And we gave you the outline. I gave it to you again here. His thesis is in verse 14. Faith without works is dead. Faith cannot save. Now, that's his thesis. He introduces it in verse 14. He illustrates it in verses 15 to 17. His thesis is attacked in 18 and 19, and the thesis is proved in 20 through 26. If we keep this in mind, this outline in mind, then we're going to find that will give us a better grasp on this section. Too many times people take a verse and they say, oh, that verse means this, apart from any context that there is. And we want to keep that context in mind here. Now, we defined some terms last week. We said faith is believing God to live the Christian life, and without faith we can't do that. We can't please God. And then we define works in two ways. First, the works of the unbeliever, works done to earn salvation. And there's always a negative connotation to that. Works cannot save. Works are no good. All that. Just a negative connotation every time this kind of works is brought up. And people who believe that, people who believe that you have to have works for salvation, those people use this verse. This is a favorite verse. This one and Hebrews chapter 6. They love those too. This verse, we need to get squared away, because that is something you'll run into sometime. And you need to help people who have that misunderstanding. Then we saw that there was another kind of works, and that is believers' works. Believers' works as an expression of salvation. This is always a positive connotation. This, do this, this is great, do it, and so forth, all through there. We gave you some verses along there. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And then Titus 3:8. This is the faithful saying. And these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. All right, so that's the good works. Oh, then there's one place where the same works of the evil kind of bad connotation and works of the good connotation are in the same passage. And that is Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. That's the bad kind. Not of works. You cannot work for your salvation. Because if you did, you would boast. That's his point. But then he goes on to say in verse 10, and many people separate these two. Verse 10 is right there. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good kind. Big smiley face on those good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, the first one is condemned in Scripture. The second one is commanded in Scripture. Now, James is talking about not the unbeliever's works, but the believer's works. He calls these people brothers. How many times? 15. I heard that. Watch it. You've been listening to him. 15 times. The word brother occurs 17 times. And Jim and I talked about this last week. He said, hey, it says here. He had his, had my computer open. He said, look, it says here. 17, was it? I said, no. I know that's wrong. It's wrong. Well, it says here. So I went and got the Bible and we looked at it. Oh, no. One talks about if a brother. That's not saying calling them brothers. He calls them brothers 15 times. It's good to have somebody check up on you sometimes, though, you know. So he calls them brother 15 times. And then he gives some examples. And the first one is, if a brother or sister is in need. And I got thinking about this. Can you be a brother if you don't have a brother? Or if you have a brother, can you not be a brother? I can't think of any way. If somebody says, I have a brother, then you're a brother. If you're using it any kind of sensible language. Yeah. So he says, if you see a brother, and if he's a brother, then you're a brother. So he's calling you a brother. So if any brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, calling them a brother. You are a brother to that person. Then he uses Abraham. In verse 21, he says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his own son on the altar? Yeah, Abraham was a believer. He was pronounced to have saving faith in Genesis 15:6. He offered Isaac, Genesis 22. So he was a believer. And then Rahab, a believer. By the way, we'll talk about that more when we get in a little farther on. Rahab, likewise was Rahab the harlot, also justified by works, which he received the messengers and sent them out another way. She was a believer, and we'll see that when we get there as well. So James is saying that if a believer does not have works, works with his faith, then it is worthless. That's what he says. So the second question, that's where we start today. Can faith save him? Now, the Greek construction calls for a negative answer. Can faith save him? No. And that scares people. They say, wait a minute, you say faith can't save? Well, if faith can't save, we better make that faith something else, you know? And so they begin to scramble, trying to doctor up the scripture to fit what they know to be true, that is, that faith does save. But James says faith can't save. Remember we talked about that? Luther just threw the book away. No good. He couldn't make it work. Well, other people have tried various things. But he says, I think a better translation would be this. Faith can't save him, can it? See, if I ask you that question, any kind of a question like that, it would be a leading question. Ever watch Law and Order and Matlock and way back, what's his face back there in a wheelchair? Perry Mason. Ironside, he was in a wheelchair, but that's later. He was healed. Where was I? Oh, leading question. Faith can't save him, can it? No. See, uncourt. If you did that, if you gave a witness that kind of a question, they say, objection, leading question, leading the witness. Well, that's what James is doing. James is leading us to say no. And that's the way it ought to be translated. So, James is saying, faith cannot save the man who has no works. So James is making a works a condition of salvation. It's there. You can't get away from it. Question. What kind of salvation is James talking about? There's the answer. It's not in saying, oh, James doesn't mean that. James means exactly that. But what salvation is James talking about? That's the key. And many assume that he's talking about salvation from the penalty of sin. That is, going to heaven. A man has to do good works in order to be saved, they say. Now, that is like payment up front. Ever get these, we've watched ads, and they say, free. This is free. Do you want a bottle of whatever it is, free? And you call, you have to call, and when you call, how are you going to give them money? With your credit card. And what they say is, oh, we'll send it to you free, and we will sign you up ad infinitum, whatever that is, all till death do us part. And you have to receive those pills and receive those pills all the time. Unless you call us and tell us you don't want them anymore. That's not free. You're paying a lot for that. If someone said to you, I'm going to give you a car, absolutely free, and then you go to get the car and say, now, that'll be $15,000. What? No, okay, no down payment. No down payment. That comes up later. But anyway, you pay up front. Faith and work. You have to have both of those in order to get salvation, is what they say. I put it this way. Believe and. It's always believe and. Believe and confess. Do you ever see that? A, B, C. The ABCs of salvation. All have sinned. Believe on Jesus. What's next? Confess. What do you mean confess? Well, you have to tell somebody. We had some people in here running our Bible school one day. I heard them at the end. I came in and sat down. And I heard them say to the kids, now don't forget to tell somebody. What? They had been saying A, B, C. C is confess, and you must confess. And if you don't tell somebody, you're not saved. Whoa. Believe and. A lot of that going around. Believe and be baptized. Same thing. Got to do that, or your belief doesn't count. Here's one. Believe and repent of your sins. And promise not to do them anymore. That's a problem. Believe and promise to serve the Lord. Turn your life over to the Lord. Believe and make Jesus Lord of your life. Accept him as Lord and Savior. Billy Graham made a living out of that. Putting Billy Graham down, but that, he always said that. Lord of your life. Believe and continue in good works. Believing is not doing something. When I believe something, yeah, that's true. That's not a work. That's not something to do. It's simply, yeah, I believe that. See, if you do something for your salvation, then when you stop doing it, you lose your salvation. Isn't that true? Wouldn't that be logical? If I do something to get it, when I stop doing that, I lose it. God takes it back or something. So, there are some who believe that, and that's how they explain this passage. Not true. Then there's another one. Only faith is necessary for salvation, but if you are saved and you don't work, then you're not really saved because you didn't have genuine faith. You didn't have real faith. You didn't really believe. Like, how much faith is necessary? So you really weren't saved after all unless you keep on working. So why do they say that? Well, I'm a teacher. I get all wrapped up in these things. But I have to tell you, I have to show you why this is true in Scripture. This verse. All right, here's what they say. There's a small word that is not translated into King James. It's the word the. You don't see it in King James. If you have any version other than King James, you probably have it. The one I have up here is, can that faith save him? That's a translation of that one little word. It's actually only one letter in Greek. Can that faith save him? Or can such faith save him? What they mean is, if a man does not work, has faith but he doesn't have works, that kind of faith can't save him. And that's the explanation you'll find in almost every commentary. And it's what I taught for years. And I'm ashamed of it, you know. I have it in some of my tapes. I said, got to redo the tapes. This is a common understanding of it. Because, they say, that article, that the, should be translated that, a demonstrative pronoun. The problem with that previous article, this article use of it, it's called the article of previous reference. The problem with that is, the article the is often used with abstract nouns. What's an abstract noun? Well, it's something you can't touch, feel, taste. It's abstract. It's out there. You can't see love. You can't see faith. You can't see hope. You know, those are abstracts. And the article in Greek is often used with one of those abstracts. It's not translated at all. You just don't translate it. Now, some people say, well, If that article appears, it ought to be translated. Well, I've given you several verses. Verse 17, 18, 20, 22, and 26, where the article occurs with faith, but is not translated. Now, this version translates it in verse 14, can that faith save? They say, oh, look, there's the word the. There's the article. We have to say that. In every one of those other places, they do not say that. They don't put that in those verses. And here they are. You ought to see it there. I have it marked in my Bible. I have faith circled, and I have an A next to it, article, and all the way through. So I can see from the English what it's like. All right, here it is, verse 17. Thus also faith by itself. Not that faith, not such faith, not even the faith. Just faith. Because you don't need to translate that the with an abstract noun. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Not that faith, not such faith, whatever. Verse 18. Some will say, you have faith and I have works. Doesn't say that faith, such faith. Verse 20. But do you not know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? I looked at that thing, I said, oh no, why is that there? That is really a translation of another word. It's not translation of the article. If you had the article translated, it would say, do you not know, O foolish man, that faith? But there it is. It's actually a subordinating conjunction, that. The English just doesn't have put lumps them all in one place with one word. But anyway, trust me, it's not translated there either. The same is true of verse 22. Well, you can see it. You know that from English even. Do you know that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Yeah. Again, that is not that. Okay? It's not translating the article, not translating the. Then verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith, no the, no that, no such, so faith without works is dead. So that is not apparently the answer to this dilemma that we have here. So what is the answer? Well, the answer is something that I've done before, in fact, even in this series, but I want to do it again, just to remind us, get it all together. The meaning of the word save, saved, and salvation, that whole same root, the basic meaning is deliverance. To be saved is to be delivered from something, and context has to tell you what that something is. All right? There is spiritual deliverance. We used already Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That is spiritual deliverance, saved from the penalty of sin. And that is what we normally call salvation. And that's part of our problem. We say salvation, meaning I get to heaven. That's what salvation is. Well, the New Testament doesn't mean that at all. It just means deliverance. Context has to tell you from what? Well, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, he's talking about deliverance from hell and deliverance to heaven. That's the first one. Spiritual deliverance from the penalty of sin. Then there's deliverance from the power of sin. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13. We call that sanctification. That's also uses the same word, sozo, to save. Sanctification from the power of sin. That's what Philippians 2:12 is talking about. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Same word. But he's talking about sanctification here. It could very well have said, and you could very well translate that, work out your own sanctification. That would be a really good translation. Or if you translate, work out your own deliverance. Deliverance from what? From the power of sin, see? And then there's another spiritual deliverance idea, and that is from the presence of sin. Romans 13, 11. And that we call glorification, from the presence of sin. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Wait a minute, our salvation is nearer? My salvation is past, see? I was saved 50 years ago, or whatever, long time ago. That's past. But no, our salvation is nearer. What are you talking about? I'm talking about our salvation, our deliverance from the very presence of sin. When the Lord returns, we're going to take us with him, and that's our salvation. See, we call that glorification. But it's the same word. Salvation. Deliverance. Now, there's also some physical deliverance. Spiritual deliverance, but also physical deliverance. From illness. In Mark chapter 5, verse 23, your faith has saved you. Well, they translate, your faith has healed you. That's good. But it's the same word. Your faith has saved you. Saved you from what? Saved you from that disease. See? Same word. Delivered. Your faith has delivered you from your disease. You're healed. Or from physical danger. Matthew 14, 30. Peter was walking on the water. He began to sink. And he said, O thou that inhabitest the earth, we come to you and thanking you for all your... And no, he didn't say anything like that. His prayer was very short. Lord, save. Two words. Lord, save. Wow. What's he saying? Peter wasn't saved yet. Oh, he hadn't believed on Jesus. No, not saying that at all. He's saying, deliver me from this physical danger. The danger of drowning in the Sea of Galilee. Let me point out one. It's a gross misuse of this. And that is in Matthew 24, 13. But he who endures to the end will be saved. I grew up in this kind of doctrine. My father was a pastor. He used that verse, if you don't endure to the end, you'll never be saved. Got to keep on going if you don't. Well, if you look at the context of that, that's in the tribulation period. The one who endures to the end of the tribulation period will be delivered when the Lord returns. That's all he's saying. He's not saying that you have to endure to the end of your life in order to be saved. Not saying that at all. But not understanding the word deliverance, not understanding this salvation thing, causes all kinds of problems. All right. Then there's also physical deliverance from physical death. I think you know examples of this. Sin can actually result in physical death. Ananias and Sapphira, a good example. Chapter 5 of Acts. Remember, they lied to the Holy Spirit, basically. You know what that is. If you don't, Acts 5, take a look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. A man had his father's wife. Whoa, that's some kind of an outbreak of sin. And Paul says, deliver him to Satan that the body may be destroyed, died. Get him out there, throw him out of the church, put him out there where Satan can get at him, and let him die. Physical death. 1 Corinthians 11. We read this every time we have communion. Partaking of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner will cause physical death, can cause physical death. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died. Why? Because they have not discerned the Lord's body in the communion. That can happen. 1 John 5:16 talks about this. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit the sin that not leading to death. In other words, when somebody sins, you pray for that person and God will take care of him, will bring him around and so forth because of your prayer. But then he says in the next verse, there is a sin to death. I do not say you should pray for that. In other words, you can't pray for that with any confidence if a person has sinned a sin to death. What is it? I don't know what that sin is, but it's a sin which leads to death, and persons do that, and they do die by the hand of God. Wow. With all those choices, how do you choose? Well, you choose by context. How does James use this? Well, which of the possible meanings would best fit here in this passage? One of them, deliverance from the power of sin, would work. I see no problem with that. He's talking how a believer should live, and he's exhorting them to better lives and service. And it would not violate the salvation, faith alone in Christ alone, which the Bible teaches. So that would fit. Wouldn't do any damage to anything I know of. But he's speaking here specifically about the salvation of the soul. I think that a better one is, James uses the word save here of physical death. Save a person from physical death. James 1, back one page, 121. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, able to save your lives. We talked about that when we were there, and I believe he's talking there about physical life. You do this in order to overcome that sin. If you don't do that, then physical death can be the result. So it's able to save your souls or save your life. And then in chapter 5, James talks about physical healing. How shall we handle when somebody's sick? And he gives them all that things and so forth. And then he comes down to verse 19. And this is the same context. He's talking about the prayer of the faithful save the sick. Then he says, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, you know, that's what you do when the person is sick. If he sinned, then you talk to him, he confesses his sin, and he says, when the person does that, if any man among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death, and will cover a multitude of sins. James has used that death possibility for sin in chapter 1 and in chapter 5, and I believe in chapter 2 as well. I believe that's what he's saying, that faith can't save him from physical death. Faith that does not work can result in physical death. It's true, and we find examples in Scripture. It's also true, the warnings that we have about this sin. Now, James is saying then, faith without works is dead. It can't save. But the salvation he's talking about is salvation from physical death. If we continue in sin after the warnings of God come to us, then physical death can be the result. Now, that's all theological. It doesn't sound very practical. But listen, if he's saying that to these people here in the book of James, he's saying that to us. He's saying, you continue in sin. You continue to ignore the warnings of the Word of God, and that can happen to you. We ought to see that. Not just a way to explain James 2:14, but it's a warning to all of us. Faith without works is dead, and that kind of faith cannot save a soul from death.